So, if you don't know, I'm a huge Miami Dolphins football fan. In fact, I'm wearing the shoes right now to rep them. And so every year, I think I came out of the womb saying this, every year since the 1972 Dolphins, I wasn't there, they had the perfect season, I've been saying, this is our year. And it hasn't. Hasn't even been close. If you're a Falcons fan, you might not ever say that. Anyways, so, but for me, I've been saying it every single year and it's not been, but I still say it. In fact, I'm saying it this year. I can't wait. It's going to happen. But there was one year I didn't say it. And it wasn't because it was already 2020, which we already know was a horrendous year, a horrible year. But in the offseason, the Dolphins seemed to not know how to build the team, which is why we can't ever do well. And they hired this quarterback named Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I'm like, what? He has been on so many teams for like a year because he doesn't do well. And so we're never going to get past mediocre if we keep getting mediocre people. And so we get this quarterback who's mediocre. And it showed. We started off the season and I stopped saying this is our year because we lost. And we didn't just lose. We lost. You know what that looks like. And then something happened mid-season. We started doing something I didn't expect. Winning. Like, it was amazing. We started winning back-to-back games, and it gets to the second to the last game of the season. And if we win this game, we might actually make the playoffs. I was like, wait, what? The playoffs? That might actually happen? And so the game starts, and it's neck and neck between the Dolphins and the Raiders. We're going back and forth between the Miami Dolphins and the Las Vegas Raiders. And then with 2 minutes left on the clock, we score, and we're up by 1 point. And the Raiders get the ball, and it's third down. And I'm like, we're so close to making the playoffs. Finally, we're going to actually look like a good team to people. And so Derek Carr, the quarterback, drops back, right? And instead of throwing to all the open receivers right here, he launches a long bomb, which means he launches it from one side of the field all the way to the other, and there's no one there. Well, actually, there's a wide receiver for the Raiders and a defender for the Dolphins, and they're next to each other. And the ball's coming down, and I'm like, okay, come on, playoffs. And the ball goes right through the receiver's hands. I'm like, yes, we're going to the playoffs. There's no way they're going to make it on fourth down. Now we're going to go to the playoffs. And then all of a sudden, this yellow streak goes and lands on the field. And I'm like, you're kidding me. A penalty flag? No stinking way. And the call is pass interference. And I'm like, you're kidding me, ref. You're taking the game away from us. This is all your fault. There's no way that's a penalty. He was nowhere near the wide receiver. Our defender was, but they gave it to the Raiders. They get the ball at the spot of the foul, and they score a touchdown. We lost the game all because of that ref. Anybody feel me? Is anybody else blaming the refs or team? It's always the ref's fault, isn't it? Always. Doesn't matter what team it is. It is always the ref's fault. Never mind the field goals your team missed. Never mind the missed tackles, the drop passes. Never mind any of that. And never mind the fact that we got the ball and scored and went to the playoffs that season. But it was still the ref's fault. That's all that matters. That's all that I remember in my head. Well, that's what we're going to be talking about today as we continue the series, Games We Play. Okay, not actually the Dolphins game, but anybody else here like me, well, they're super competitive. Anybody super competitive? Yeah, my family won't play Monopoly with me ever again. So I'm that same way where I get so competitive, and so many times we play games on boards or on courts and we get competitive. But as we talked about last week, when we started this series, we talked about there's certain games you can win or lose, but there's certain games you should never play. And the games we should never play is specific to the realm of relationships. When you take your competitiveness from the court to relationships, there's never going to be a winner. So what we learned last week is we need to be the first to put others first. We need to play the honor game where we honor others above ourselves. That's when you'll win in relationships. So today I want to continue this series and talk about another game, a game that many of us know we play, but yet we're still unwilling to stop playing it, even though there's never any winners. And this game is called the blame game, which many of you blame refs for, like me. But also we blame people in our lives for, right? And this is nothing new. All of us know, when I put this on the screen, you all know what I was talking about. But I wanted to give you a definition, which, did you know it's in every dictionary? That's how common this game is. Here's the definition. A situation in when one party blames others for something bad or unfortunate, here it is, rather than attempting to seek a solution. Sound familiar? Let's step on some toes with that one. Let me give you an example. For me, I realized as I was preparing this talk, I literally do this every day. I come home and I go into the kitchen, and if it's dirty, my natural response is not to go start cleaning it. It's to go, which kid would cause this? Come here, kids, you need to come clean this up. I immediately just start blaming them instead of just cleaning it up. That's what we do, right? And we blame so many people in so many areas of our lives, like at work or at school. If you have a group project, what do you say? Well, I couldn't finish the presentation because they didn't get me the data I needed, right? It's even as silly as driving to the bakery and blaming the bakery for your dessert addiction, right? Or it's showing up somewhere late to work and going, well, the reason I'm late is because of the person who's driving so slow in front of me. It's what we do. We just love to blame. We might even say, it's his fault I didn't get that job. Or I'm single because all the good ones are gone, right? Or you might even say this one, and I might be stepping on some toes with this one, but you might have said this as you came in this morning. The reason we're late is because you wouldn't hurry up. Raise your hand if you said, no, just kidding, don't say that. Some of you are like, oh gosh, he's going straight for the jugular this morning. All right, and so yes, because that's what we do. We know how to blame. It's our natural default. When we start feeling this kind of pain and we start feeling like we're a little bit out of control. In fact, that's what the reason we blame is why Brené Brown, who's an author and a researcher, she puts it this way. She says, blame is simply the discharging of discomfort and pain. That's what we do, isn't it? When we start feeling like we're out of control, or we start feeling like we don't know how to handle a situation, or we just don't know what to do with our emotions, we feel like we need to cast it onto someone else and give them responsibility instead of taking responsibility of something we might have caused, right? And we often try to fault others for our mistakes. That's what we do. Now, there's some reasons we play the blame game. And some of them you might know and some of you don't realize is the reason you play. But the first one is this. Many times we want to avoid responsibility. We blame others so that we don't face the consequences. It's their fault. Don't give me the results, right? Another reason is we protect our reputation. We do it to say, oh, no. That was all them. Don't associate me with them. Don't associate me with missing the meeting, being late, not presenting well, not failing. It was not my fault. None of it was my fault. And so we don't want to be known as a mistaker or that kind of person. Now, this last one, I think we realize the first two, but this last one we do unknowingly. And to me, it's actually the biggest problem with why we play the blame game. And it's this, to remove guilt. For many of us, we feel guilty, which is why we start blaming someone or something else, and we rationalize in order to blame and deceive ourselves. And so what we do is we say, oh, no, don't associate with me. Don't bring me in with them. It is all their fault. They're the guilty party. I had nothing to do with it. Now, here's the thing. When we do that, we are deceiving ourselves because we might shift the responsibility or the blame onto someone else, but in the end, we're also still feeling guilty and shameful, and we're wondering why. It's because we're not willing to own our part. We're not willing to see how maybe we might have been responsible. And this is the reason many of us don't have the relationships we want. It might be the reason you don't have the relationship with your mom, your dad, your spouse, your coworkers that you have or that you want, right? Instead, what ends up happening is you both walk on eggshells around each other, and there's content, there's resentment in your mind whenever you think about them. This is why when you play the blame game, there's never going to be a winner, because there's a loss of intimacy, a lack of connectivity, and ultimately an absence of admiration. And you know this. We've all been on the other side of this. We know how it feels, right? When someone blames you and points the finger at you, how do you feel? Oh, don't you feel loved and cared for, even if it was your fault? Aren't you like, yes, we should come together and find a resolution? No, you feel so disconnected. You have no desire, even if it's your fault. You put up a wall. You don't want to have anything to do with them because you're just being accused over and over. And that's what happens with the blame game, because we know what it's like on this side of it, of the finger pointing at us. And this happens, no relationship is immune to this. Spouses, coworkers, roommates, right? People in authority over us, like teachers, bosses, professors, the theys of an organization. But especially this happens in family, because it's the reason you hate to go over there for the holidays, because of everyone walking on eggshells. And so when we play the blame game, we always lose because we're not willing to change. In fact, that's what Andy Stanley says. He says, people who blame things rarely change things. Blame is an unassailable change avoidance strategy. See, the moment you place blame, you undermine your resolve to create change, both within and without. And when we've noticed people who are blaming or shifting responsibility, do you have more respect for them or less respect for them? Are you wanting to hire them? Are you wanting to continue to be friends with them? No, you don't, because you notice how they're not going to change. You don't feel like they're capable of changing, right? Because we don't have any more respect for them, and so we don't want to hire them. In fact, statistically speaking, people who blame and shift responsibility earn less, not just because they have less respect, but because they are not trusted with as much. In fact, they start seeing people around them not as partners, but as competitors. And that creates an isolation, and that creates them a separation and mistrust completely. And so for the rest of our time together, I want to talk about where this all started. Because where this started is actually earlier than you would think. It actually didn't start with your relationships. I know, right? It's shocking. This actually started at the beginning of the creation of the earth, back in the creation account in Genesis in Scripture. And so in the beginning, God made everything, right? He made the heavens, the earth, he created land, and he made the animals and the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea. And he created this place called the Garden of Eden. And in the Garden of Eden, he placed all these things he made, including humanity, which was Adam and Eve. And there, he gave them full responsibility. He said, Adam and Eve, you have full responsibility over the garden. Take care of creation. And if you do, we'll have a great relationship. And so they did. They had an amazing relationship between each other. And Scripture tells us they walked and talked with God every single day. How encouraging is that? Now, God did give them one rule. He said, you have all this responsibility. He even told Adam, you can name the animals. Why did he name the giraffe the giraffe? No one knows. But he gave them all this responsibility, but one rule. And this one rule was, you cannot eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He says, you can eat from every other tree, but not that tree. But then one day, this serpent comes, also known as the devil, and deceives Eve into eating the fruit, because he tells her, you're going to be like God. So she eats it, and then she gives it to Adam, who also eats it. And that's where we're going to pick up. Now, regardless of what you believe about the creation account, regardless if you're a follower of Jesus or not, I want you to not lean out, because I know I just mentioned a talking snake. I know. I want you to lean in, because the purpose of this is to help you understand where the blame game started. So here we go. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees in the garden. I always laugh when I read that. Do you? You're like, how do you hide from God? The all-seeing, all-knowing. Why are you hiding, right? It reminds me of when I was a kid. Whenever I'd do something wrong, I would go hide from my parents. That's essentially what was happening. Continues. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? Again, God knows exactly where you are, but it makes me think of my kids when they do something wrong. I go, did you do this? Parents, we already know the answer, don't we? Yes, they did. We're just wanting them to fess up. Excuse me. And then he continues. He answered, this is Adam. He says, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid. Doesn't this happen a lot to you? When we mess up, we go hide or we try and run or we try to not own up because we don't want to face the consequences. This is what Adam was doing. And then God responds, who told you that you were naked? Here it is. Have you eaten from that tree that I commanded you not to eat from? God says, I gave you so much responsibility, but and only one rule. Like, if everyone would be responsible for what they're responsible for, we don't need any rules. We don't need very many rules. This is true for a family, for a company, and even for a nation. And so here God's like, why did you do that? He was so heartbroken. He was saddened by this. And so he says, have you commanded that you not eat from the tree? Adam's response, it's amazing. It blows me away. Here's what he said. Yes, I did. And I take full responsibility for my actions. Do with me as you will. This was my decision. Leave Eve out of this. She's innocent. Now, some of you are laughing because you know that's not what he said. This is why you got to read your Bible. You never know what I'm going to put up here, all right? Gosh. But imagine if he actually said this. How different would the world be today? Well, let's see what he actually said. The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit." He wouldn't even use her name. "She gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it." Adam is playing the blame game. He starts blaming Eve. What I love is he says, "Oh yeah, I ate it, but it's her fault," right? He's like, "This woman, listen, I didn't even know what a woman was, all right? It was just me and the animals. It was a little lonely, but we were fine, okay? But then you had to take a rib out of me and look at this mess you just made, all right?" And it just cracks me up because you're like, not only is he blaming Eve, he said, "This woman you put here with me." He's blaming God as well. Don't we do that for our mess ups? Don't we go sometimes straight to God? We're like, "Man, you did this to me," right? And yet it was our fault. But this is what Adam's doing. And now, let me ask you this. He's blaming Eve and he's blaming God for everything. Doesn't this, for those of you who are married, doesn't this explain all the conflict in your marriage? Just saying. But like, this is, it's amazing to see how this creation account in this ancient book is the reason Jesus took it seriously, which is why we should take it seriously. And so here, it's amazing what continues to happen. So then God goes to Eve and says, "Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?'" Here's what Eve says. "The serpent, that talking snake, deceived me and I ate." She doesn't even fess up. She blames the serpent. I could just see the snake there going, "Whatever, I did it. I'm trying to stick it to you, God." Right? Like I can see the serpent finally owning it. The one that we don't like and is the devil in this situation. And yet Adam and Eve are casting blame onto someone else. That's what we do when we don't want to claim responsibility. We create a scapegoat. We create an enemy. And it sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? When you read this story, you're like, how could they have done that? That's how we look when we play this game. Think about that. And here's the results of the situation. Once this happened, obviously Adam and Eve had to have a conversation. There were some issues. She's probably like, "You blame me, you're on the couch tonight." But there was also a disconnection or a separation between them and God. Because when they chose to be like God, they stopped trusting God. And that introduced sin into the world. And when that happened, God said, "You can't be in this perfect place anymore." And so he had said, "You have to go." And ever since then, if you read, continue in scripture, you'll see it's just nothing but strife and conflict in humanity over and over. It's the blame game constantly throughout scripture. And this is why irresponsibility that leads to blame always leads to conflict. This is nothing new for you. You know this. A lot of you are shaking your heads. You know this. But yet we still play the blame game because where there's blame, there's also shame because there's often guilt. And the reason is we get defensive and we miss the opportunity to look honestly at ourselves. But instead, we create wrongdoers and right doers. And who are the right doers in our mind? Us. Who's the wrongdoers? Always them. And so because of that, we miss out on a possibility of having an open and honest and empathetic conversation with someone else to help move forward, to help change, to help create restoration and connection. But instead, we're okay with living in conflict. Now, there is good news. Jesus actually gives us a way out of this cycle of playing the blame game in our relationships and to keep us from continuing to do this over and over. Now, the answer is not what you're going to expect. You're probably not going to like it. But he explains it to us in the middle of his most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. Here in this sermon, he talks all about the better way of living, the Jesus way, how we can act and react Christ-like every single day. Because when we do that, it not only restores relationships, it makes for a better world and better relationships, and it glorifies our Heavenly Father. Here's what Matthew records Jesus says. "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye?" He's saying, why do you focus so much on them? Why do you focus so much on the problem that you're missing out on everything in your own eye? He continues, "How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there's a plank in your eye? I love how Jesus is using hyperbole, right? It sounds ridiculous, like Adam and Eve, but he's doing that to make us pay attention. He's saying, you need to look at yourself. You need to determine what's going on with you before you go to them. And then he gets really with some strong, seriously strong language. He says, you hypocrite. Oof. He's saying, you're not acting and reacting the way I want you to act and react. You're acting irresponsibly and immature. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. He's saying, you need to look at yourself and what part you played. You need to look at what you're responsible for before you go to them. Because you might think what you're looking at is big, is in them or in the problem, but it's actually what's in your own eye. And you need to focus on yourself and take that out then. And this is what I love. He doesn't absolve them because they might be truly to blame. But then he says, only then can you go to them. Because if you don't do this in this order, if you do it the opposite order, many times you'll miss out on the opportunity to have a respectful, loving, caring conversation, not one filled with anger and bitterness and resentment. But when we reverse this and don't follow the Jesus way, that's what we do, isn't it? We attack. We go straight for them instead of having a calm conversation that will actually bring you together instead of separate you two. And so to help us remember this, I put this in a fun little rhyming kind of statement. Now, it's a little cheesy, but stick with me. I'm going to read it. I'm going to explain it, and I'm going to ask us to say it together so we can internalize it. Because trust me, this is what's helped me. I know it'll help you when to stop playing the blame game. Here's what it is. Don't blame. That's lame. Reframe. Don't blame. That's lame. Reframe. Let me explain. I love that you chuckled when I put that's lame, because I could have done don't blame, reframe. But the reason I did that is because of Adam and Eve and the hyperbole Jesus is using with a giant plank versus a speck of sawdust. Because here's the thing. When we blame, how do you feel? Angry. They did this to me. It's all their fault. Like, there's no happiness. It's not like, oh, I'm so happy they did this to me, right? And so with the that's lame, I've noticed that you need to change your perspective, and you can just say reframe, but you need to get your mind off of the situation. And so whenever I'm in a situation, my hope is that I say, don't blame, that's lame, reframe, right? It gets you out of the situation. Now, let's talk about, oh wait, actually I said we're gonna do this together. So let's say this all together. Here we go. Don't blame, that's lame. Reframe. That was hilarious. Hearing you guys say that's lame. I love it. But what does this actually mean? How does this actually help us? What does reframing look like? Well, to take a cue from what Jesus told us, to reframe means you need to shift the perspective off of them, off of the actual problem, and onto yourself. You need to determine what is the role you may have played. What is your part in all of this? Should you have been more involved? Less involved? More supportive? Should you have filtered your words? Should you have bridged the gap with trust? Showed empathy? Given them the benefit of the doubt? What should you have done? What is your part? Now, here's the hard part. 9 times out of 10, I'm going to be honest, you're not going to know what it is. This is why when we listen to Jesus, we need to pray and ask God to reveal what our plank is. We need to say, God, what was my part in this? Can you please reveal it to me? You have to do that in order to look at yourself. Because after you do that, take responsibility for it. Own up to it. Take responsibility for your slice of the pie. Not the whole pie. It's probably not half. It's probably not even a quarter. Maybe it's a sliver. But take responsibility for your slice of the pie. What is your part that you need to own up? Because aren't you glad when someone else takes responsibility? Doesn't it make you feel better and invite you in? Recently, my wife and I found out something one of our kids said, and we were furious. So my wife, Annie, decided to have a conversation with them. But before that, we were ready. We were ready for the blame game to start. We were ready for them to blame their siblings, because that's all I do even today. And so my brother's younger. He's always at fault. And so I was ready for this because they've got 3 other siblings. I was ready for them. We were ready for them to blame. But instead, we were so surprised at their response. When Annie, my wife, presented this to them, they said, oh, I'm sorry. And they took responsibility. We were shocked. We were so surprised. But then we realized, I was like, wow, that's maturity. And now we extend grace quicker, and we trust him a little bit more because they took responsibility. Doesn't that work in relationships when that happens? Like, imagine if that would happen. Because see, here's the situation. Here's the deal. Only you are responsible for your choices and your actions. You are the one who can decide to make a change first. And this is not about making you feel guilty. This is about you owning up to what your part is. Now, there might be some consequences, but they're going to be short-lived because instead you're going to grow from it and you're going to grow closer to that person. You're going to hopefully restore a connection with them instead of constantly walking on eggshells about them. There'll be some pain initially. That's what taking a plank out of your own eye will feel like. There'll be some pain, but it's worth it because instead of being a lose-lose in the relationship, it becomes a win-win. And then you'll reframe not only the situation, you'll reframe how you view them. Because what's going to happen is you'll see them as someone made in the image of God, as someone who God values, someone who has hopes and dreams. Because what happens when we blame is we feel contempt and we put ourselves above them without even realizing it. But when you stop blaming and you choose to reframe, you see them as the same playing field as you, on the same level as you, instead of looking up down on them. And when you reframe, you empower yourself to find a solution and to create change. For those of you who are married, imagine if your spouse, instead of defaulting to blaming, came to you one day and said, "Hey, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I own this part. Would you help me?" I think I just heard some audible gasps. But imagine if that happened. What would that do? Instead of feeling separated and disconnected and separating yourself emotionally or even physically from them, it invites you in, back into the relationship to help find a solution instead of putting a wall up, doesn't it? This is how this works. If you stop blaming, because that's lame, and instead you reframe. What if reframing became your default instead of blaming? So when you find yourself blaming, don't blame. That's lame. Reframe. So let's talk about what this actually looks like. Instead of blaming someone else because you aren't taking care of yourself, reframe and say, "What is my role in my own health? What is my role in my health?" Right? Instead of blaming someone else for not getting that promotion, reframe and ask yourself, "What if it actually wasn't their fault?" Instead of blaming someone else for not being satisfied with your life, what if you reframed and said, "You know what? I'm only supposed to find satisfaction in my Heavenly Father. So let me turn to Him and then ask Him to give you satisfaction in the life He has given you." Instead of blaming someone for the reason you didn't make the team, the reason you didn't get into that school or make the grade, what if instead you reframed and said, "Let me turn this setback into an opportunity to move forward and say, maybe I need to learn a new skill. Maybe I need to study differently. Maybe I need to ask for help." Instead of blaming someone for the reason you're not getting along, reframe and say, "Maybe I didn't set my expectations clearly enough. Or maybe I said something I shouldn't have." If you're not getting along, reframe. Now, what if you're blaming someone for what they did to you? And what they did to you probably ruined your life. And you have every reason. I don't blame you for blaming them. I'd be angry too. And they've affected your life permanently forever. Well, reframe. Let me ask you a question. Does blaming them help you move forward? Or does it keep you in a cycle of remembering, of staying angry? What if you were to reframe? Not forgetting what they did, not no longer acknowledging, that's not what I'm saying, but what if you forgave them in order to move forward? Because it's so hard to grow, isn't it? You feel stuck. This will help you so much. Instead of blaming them, reframe, forgive them, ask your Heavenly Father so that you will no longer be defined by your past and you can step forward into the future He has for you. But right now you are stuck. So reframe. Don't stop playing the blame game with them. Because here's the thing for all of this. Instead of shifting the responsibility off of ourselves for our own well-being, satisfaction, education, advancement, let's reframe. Let's look at ourselves and take responsibility for our part. A couple years ago, Annie and I got a call. And this call was unexpected from a couple. Well, it was from the wife. And she calls us and she goes, "We can't do it anymore. He's already moved out. It's just too hard. We can't do it. I don't know what to do. Will you please help us?" So Annie and I were like, okay. Started praying. And I went and had a conversation with the husband. And I said, "Hey, tell me what's going on." And his response was, "Oh, it's all her fault. If she would do this, if she would change, if she would respect me more, if she would just act the way I want her to act, or love me the way I want to be loved, or say these things, or stop doing this." And I was like, whoa. All I heard was the blame game. And then we went back to her. And we said, "Hey, tell us what's really going on." She's like, "Oh, he won't change. He won't do anything I ask him to do. If he would stop doing this, if he would love me this way, if he would stop saying these things." And I was like, wow, it's the blame game. They're just both playing the blame game over and over, and this cycle's never going to end. And so we kept up with them. We prayed for them. We kept trying to help them, and nothing seemed to work. But we kept up with them. And then one day, I was scrolling on social media, and I saw a picture of them hugging, smiling. I'll go, "How old is this?" And it was recent. It was just posted. We were so surprised, thankful, but so surprised. So I called them, and I was like, "What happened?" And the wife tells me, she goes, "One day I was praying, and God said, stop blaming. Take the plank out of your own eye. You need to look at this differently. Own up for your part." And so she thought about it, and she said, "You know what? I'm going to be responsible for this part that I did." And she went to him, and she sat down, and she said, "I'm going to own up to what I'm responsible for." Now, was it everything he wanted her to be responsible for and to take responsibility for? No. But when he saw the way she approached him, it was different than before. And he responded calmly and started looking at what he can take responsibility for. And when he did, they started moving closer and closer together. Was it everything she wanted him to take responsibility for? No. But it caused them to come back together, and they've been healing and getting closer and closer and having open and honest conversations ever since, to where they can now post that picture. This isn't just a marriage thing. This is a relationship thing. This is a human thing. This is with roommates, with coworkers, with family, with friends, with spouses, with boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it is. This is like everything. This is a relationship thing, and this can help you so much if we would just not blame, because it's lame. So let's reframe. And we learned this from Jesus, not just because he said it, but because he was the ultimate example. As he was on the cross, he had every right to blame the people who put him on there. But what did he say instead? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And so if we would just reframe, if we would just ask God, what is our role in all this? What are we supposed to take responsibility for? Can you imagine what would happen? Just imagine how much better your relationships would be if you took responsibility for your part. We would have better working environments, stable families, and healthier marriages. And we would refuse to blame others for problems. And that would show, especially those of us who are followers of Jesus, as people who act and react Christ-like, as mature believers, not immature. And when we do that, man, we partner with God into becoming and being shaped into people, not who just love Jesus, but who act Christ-like. Don't blame. That's lame. Reframe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are so good that you would actually give us a way out of playing the blame game. Because we know it's wrong, but yet we keep doing it over and over, because when we're in it, we can't see it. We see it clearly in other people. So Lord, help us see the planks on our own eye. Help us have a group of people who are willing to change and stop playing this game so we can move forward. And God, you are so good that you send Jesus as the perfect example of how to do this. So let us keep that in mind so we stop playing this game and we have healthier relationships, better marriages, thriving families, and a better community, all because of what you've told us today. We pray all this in your son's name, Jesus. Amen.